Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
If I worked at a butcher, to me it's like Rocky. We all seen Rocky, right?
Yeah.
Okay, he worked at the butcher place, right? He came home with steaks every night. Paulie's brother, right? Or what the hell
was no, that? No, he was Paulie's Adrian's brother.
Correct. Oh, so his name was Paulie. Paulie was the guy who worked at the butcher. Every night he came home with a couple steaks.
But so throughout that Rocky franchise, I'm pretty sure Paulie is a bit of a thief. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
but I understand what
you're Paulie's a bad dude.
But I just always assumed from watching that movie that if you worked at a butcher, like every night you could come home with some steaks.
I don't know if it's every night. I'm sure every once in a while
did you get that?
Every night I mean, they hand you.
You know what, Miles? There's a way to stay innocent. That's to truly believe you're not committing a crime.
Right. Once again,
you get this job.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to Miles's Restaurant. If you didn't know, all of our food, all of it, every bite you take, stolen.
Okay, look, Rocky breaks the ribs, right?
Sure.
Punching the meat that's hanging off the hooks. I can't sell broken ribs. All those beef ribs are coming home with me. As soon as we cut into that cow, I'm taking all those ribs.
So if you're a butcher, you're going to hire a boxer to walk into your place every once in a while. Tell them which slices of meat you need to beat the piss out of.
Yeah. Well, you can beat the ribs. You know what I mean? I don't think you can break anything else. But in that instance.
So Rocky's what turned you onto this.
I just figured you could
bring
meat home.
Everyone else is like, Rocky.
I'll say, look. This theory is locked.
Rocky is this tear-jerking movie about a man who rises from the ashes to almost become world champion. Right?
If you are a butcher.
Gonna fly now. Ran to the top of the stairs, jumped around. What does Miles get out of this? You know where you can get free meat.
Yeah. If you're a butcher.
I gotta say, also, the funny thing is, Miles, is like, if you go out with you're one of the more generous people I know.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine you stealing anything from a bar or restaurant.
So, but look, from the
plant? Oh, it's starting.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If you're a butcher, just call the show and let us know if you don't take meat home every night.
Every night?
Every night. Because look, man, even if the.
Wait, are you asking him, are they stealing it or. Is it okay that you take, because you might take meat home every night. I don't know that's always awesome.
Okay, but Ted, you know for a fact, even at a grocery store, they have that meat that says, don't wait a minute when you get home to cook this.
It's a manager special.
It's a manager special.
I enjoy it.
I'm the manager of the meat section.
As soon as you get home.
We know that can't stay out tomorrow, right?
All right.
I'm taking that home. I think that's carte blanche.
The rainbow meat.
Yeah, well, it's almost rainbow meat, but I'm saying, like, look, you're throwing that out that night.
Thrill, that's how you know it has flavor.
But you go home right away and you...
That flavor is botulism.
Yeah, and you cook that, you know what I mean? You're taking it home that night to eat. You got a steak, right? I mean, in theory, doesn't that sound right? I mean,
but you're the butcher. I would think that you are less likely to have expiring rainbow meat than the grocery store.
Okay, I got a big slab of New York's, right? I got a big slab of New York's, all right? A whole slab, I'm going to cut them, right? Maybe I cut like 3/4 of an inch instead of an inch. You know, like when Subway got busted for selling like 10-inch subs,
right?
They were supposed to be 12. So as
they
I
were
cut
11
this,
inches,
I might be able to get like two wonderful.
Did
fillets.
You hear what you just said? When Subway got busted, for selling 11-inch rolls.
But Miles, you got to think about it this way.
You're still stealing.
I've worked at a bar, right? And after your shift, you have a couple beers. Maybe you have some free food. But I couldn't walk out of the bar every night with a couple bottles of liquor.
No. Price point's too high. That's how they make their money. You can't do that. I'm just saying. I'm spitballing.
Look, I'm not against any of this. I'm just saying you go to jail.
I'm not going to jail because I bring a steak home every night.
Every night.
Yeah.
Every night. Yeah,
yeah,
you are.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, come on. That's the whole point of being a butcher, isn't it? Or maybe it's just chicken legs at night. I don't know. Maybe
you're in the mood for. What are you guys upset about? It's chicken legs.
I mean, come on.
Are you hungry?
Yeah. What did you acquire or steal from a previous employer or relationship? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Telling you, it's okay.
Hello, Jason.
Jason.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you guys?
We're doing great, Jason. Thanks, man.
We're getting hungry.
Yeah.
Me too. Hey, so about 15 years ago, I was going to college at the Art Institute of Seattle, and I worked in the student store, and I kind of became a compulsive stealer there, I guess.
Oh, we just call that a crook, mm-hmm. But please continue.
Man, like any time I had a friend who would come up and want to buy something expensive, I would just kind of neglect to ring them up and give things for free. I stole a lot of pairs of those Sony MDR 7506 headphones and reel-to-reels because I was in the audio program. Man, stole.
How long ago was this?
15 years ago.
I worked there for 2.5 years, and no one ever said anything, ever found out.
I'll be damned. Okay.
So what other kind of audio equipment did you snatch from there?
Reel-to-reels, headphones were mainly what they carried there.
Did you have a reel-to-reel player?
I did.
That is amazing. Do you still have that thing?
I still have it.
You know what? It's not going to...
You got to keep it.
Yeah, it probably will still work and work exactly how it did then.
Which is always iffy at best. Anyway.
Yeah, but still.
And I'm gonna come clean right here.
Oh.
After every night at till count, I would steal a roll of quarters and go buy beer with it.
What's a roll of quarters? $10? What's a roll of quarters? $20? $20?
$20?
Bankroll of quarters.
That seems a little suspicious, though, when you're bringing in a bankroll of quarters every night to buy beer.
Every night.
I'm just walking home with a steak.
I don't know. Because, look, people selling beer, they don't care. When we first started working together, we had no money at all. Mm-hmm. And all we would do is pull our change, go to this same woman at this same liquor store, and then just dump a bunch
change,
of coins, right?
Yeah. And then we'd get $2.40s and Mickey's.
Right.
All $10. Okay.
So if we rolled in every day with a roll of quarters, she's not going to ask questions. We knew that about her because we stunk all the time. We looked bad. We only had change.
Yeah, we just dumped change on the counter. If we came in all prepared, like, oh, we rolled them this time.
It would look like we're being convenient for it.
Was that little deli?
Yeah. Miller's?
That's the best part. It wasn't like a quarter store. Right. It was like an actual deli.
Yeah.
But I think it was decent.
Yeah, you could go Miller's.
It was a nice deli, but they sold like 40s. So we'd roll in.
And liquor.
And all these old couples are in there eating. And very good deli, but we couldn't afford to eat there. But we'd go in and buy malt liquor.
Mm-hmm. At a Jewish deli.
Yeah.
How else would you buy it in Baltimore?
Right.
Steal it.
They had it.
Connect with the guys. Find the men's room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the men's room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Yes, friends, it's time once again for... Sit and spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Oh, there he is! Live from his basement studio dungeon, the one and only Ryan Castle joining us for Sit and Spin.
I am still, since mid-March of 2020, subterranean.
You are down there, man. You've been living in the basement. And you look very fallish today. You have a plaid shirt on. You look like you're ready for some soup and, just kicking back and watching...
So I'm not going to complain about the nice weather we're having today, but I will tell you that Ted Smith and I had a conversation about turkey chili last week, and I brought my ass home and made turkey chili, and it was awesome.
Those are great.
Castle, I made turkey chili on Saturday myself.
Yeah,
I think you and I need to have a chili off, my friend.
He said he crapped the whole afternoon in the bathroom. Right.
Yeah, that's why I missed part of the first quarter. I had three different types of beans in my chili.
What kind of beans did you put in there?
I had three jars of beans. You got me, Miles. I had two things of chili beans and one thing of kidney beans.
Well, that sounds good.
Jeez.
Yeah, that sounds
really good. Yeah, that is a toilet. I would just eat that on the toilet.
What would you put in your chili there, Castle?
Well, let me see. I did dried beans, dried kidney beans with the full-on soak. You get some red pepper in there, onions, of course, garlic, turkey, cumin, chili powder, you know, all the regular
all
stuff.
All good stuff. And do you have
I can't
leftovers?
Make it spicy, though, because my wife can't eat spicy food, as you know. Like, here's how delicate my wife's palate is when it comes to spicy food. Pepper is spicy. Right?
Okay. Oh, no. So, oh,
like,
no.
You can't cook with pepper, so the spice has to come later. I always joke with her. Like, she says stuff like, did you cook this in hot water? It's so spicy.
Well, look, I don't want to bring up your wife too much here, but I'm going to, because so far, the last 2 weeks, we've done Mr. Yeah. We have done Mrs. and Miss Songs as well. And now we move on to Doctor. And one thing that I think
prefixes.
Yeah, that is inherently true about doctors that I know, no matter if I knew them from childhood or they were my doctor growing up or whatever. But something happens to you once you get your doctorate. It's almost like you become a different person. You know
like
what I mean?
You can't eat spice.
You're not on a level of the regular person. Like that title just immediately goes straight to your head and you are better than everybody. And I'm not saying that because your wife is a doctor. I'm just saying.
We already know she's better than you. Yeah, she's exactly. better than you long before she got a PhD.
But did you notice this?
That bar is low, though. We all know
did you notice the transformation when she got her doctorate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, she went from the fun governor to the fun czar, I think.
when you get mail to your house, does it say Dr. Castle?
No, and I'll tell you what, like, she doesn't use it nearly as much as I would.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Rarely does she do. Like, you know, she'll sit on panels and stuff, and it'll just be her name. I'm like, why don't you have the doctor on there? Like, you know, what was the whole point of going to school for 10 years if you're not going to use the doctor? So, like, when I book a stuff, if I check us into hotels or I book our airline tickets or something, I always put it in there.
Also,
it's super cool because then people find out and they do stuff like pull up their shirt and go, hey, does this look infected?
Right, sure.
You know, even though, you know, she got her PhD from the School of Aquatics and Fishery Sciences and she's not even that kind of doctor, but I encourage it.
My buddy growing up, man, I'll never forget this. I just asked him if we were going to do it. We were going to do something. I was like, Mr. Starcher, is it okay if Brian spends a night or whatever I threw out there? And he's like, it's Dr. Starcher.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, man. Oh, sorry, brother. Sorry.
My uncle does that. My uncle's a botanist. And my mom was pissed at him. She's like, Dr. Hill, he can't cure a goddamn cold.
Yeah. Dentists get made fun of for putting doctor in front of their name. Like, all you do is fix teeth. You're not a doctor.
I didn't go to 10 years of evil school to be called Mr.
Right. But we've moved on to Doctor on Sit and Spin. Yeah. So today we've got 10 songs about Dr. Such and Such.
Who is that?
That's Little Feat. And I came to the conclusion today while putting together this list. Doctor is a euphemism for drug dealer in the world.
Oh, really?
That song sounds like it comes with a glass of cheap, warm whiskey.
I was going to say, I think your penis smells like whiskey after a night with that person.
Definitely.
Cigarettes.
That's not how that works.
What kind of doctor are you?
The one that smokes Pall Malls. These are 10 songs about Dr. Such and Such on Sit and Spin.
Number 9.
If your surgeon sounded like this, you'd walk out.
You're operating on me?
I'm going to make an incision. I've made the decision to make an incision.
I mean, does smoking weed...
cranium, my friend.
Right, like smoking weed doesn't give you a green thumb. You'd have to grow it.
Right.
Dr. Green. These are 10 songs about Dr. Such and Such on Sin Spin.
Eight, number eight.
I guess COVID cut off that Thompson twin reunion we were all hoping would come through.
Yeah, I mean, put it on the list of letdowns for 2020, man.
Jeez, Wes, can't even get that one live anymore. 10 songs about Dr. Such and Such on Sit and Spin.
Seven, number seven.
I don't know what's happening right now.
Ted, we're looking at you. Is this the chipmunks?
It's Alvin and the Chipmunks. Show some respect.
Oh, that is Alvin.
Okay. For a minute, I thought it was like the Jackson 5 song we never heard.
Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla.
What is this song about now?
The Witch Doctor.
The Witch Doctor, yes.
Seriously, from Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Yes, sir.
Turn that up.
Might be the best one we've heard so far.
Somehow I think this is like the 90s remix of it. So I'm hearing a lot of go.
How's this not number one?
Was this from the film?
These are 10 songs about Dr. Such and Such on Sit and Spin.
Sit number six.
Who's the band?
UFO.
Okay.
All right.
For a minute, I thought it kind of had like a Thin Lizzy vibe to it. And I was like,
that's what I thought at first. But I'm like, that is not
an era. Mm-hmm.
That's UFO.
10 songs about Dr. Such and Such on Sit and Spin.
Five. Number five. You better call me a doctor.
I know David Lee Roth's not supposed to be funny. I cannot laugh or not laugh when I hear him, dude. I don't know why.
Is he talking about? Is this sex? Is this drugs?
This is the voice of a hot mess. You know what I mean?
Howdy, baby. I can hardly walk. My third leg.
Now he's just bragging.
I know. Did you do drugs in a bathroom stall with David Lee Roth once, Miles?
I believe that was a true story. Something like that. Hey, man, let's go back in there. I got something. Like all right, Dave, sure. Yeah.
Four, number four. Call me Dr. Love. They call me Dr. Love. Call me
Dr. Pug. Dr. Pug.
So, Miles, I fell down a wormhole of vintage Kiss concert clips. How did I not know they were cheesy? You know what I'm saying? I'm just looking at this like, this is unbelievable.
Is there a doctor in the house?
But do yourself a favor. Just watch any live concert clip of Kiss. Just Paul Stanley between the songs. Entertainment for hours.
These are 10 songs.
I don't know what's going on in Seattle and Tacoma today, but it burns when I pee. I think I need to see Dr. Love.
Jesus. For your love gun?
That was always my favorite.
I don't know how you got in, but I came in through the back door and I brought my gun in here.
I can't even get that high.
10 songs about Dr. Such and Such.
Number three.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I got a bad case of loving you.
Here's a fun story for you, Ryan Castle. One morning I come in, I'm working a morning show, I have to interview Robert Palmer. The night before I did acid at a Grateful Dead show, I'm tripping my balls off, right? I'm still on the air. And Robert's on hold before we go on live, and I'm like, hey man, I gotta tell you, if I'm a little dazed, I did acid last night. I said, I still think I'm tripping. He's like, where did you go? And I was like, to the Grateful Dead. He's like, oh mate, that sounds like the greatest night ever. Tell me more. And I was like, well, Steve Winwood opened up. He's like, oh, Steve Winwood's my buddy. He starts going into all these. I'm like, can you hold off for 1 second? We're not on the air yet. But we can't talk about the fact that I think I'm still tripping on acid. He's like, okay. So great. I was like, I love this guy, man. He was interviewing me. He was interviewing me. I was like, yeah, wait.
Dude, that wasn't Robert Palmer. That was your mom. She's worried about you.
Are you okay? 10 songs about Dr. Such and Such on Sit and Spin.
Number two.
You want to talk about our text chain? Yes, let that go.
The new steakhouse. Grills, grills, grills. Tri-tips, chicken strips.
We got the cooks that grill.
Home sweet home fries.
I love creamer.
My croutons. And my cough is cold.
And I think we've come full circle with doctors being drug dealers here.
Ribs, ribs, ribs.
Hey, Tommy, look at those ribs.
Woo, woo, well, dude.
That's fries with the mild side.
Right. These are 10 songs about Dr. Such and Such on Sit and Spin.
One, number one.
Like a surgeon.
Nice work there. Ah, Cassie, you killed it. Thank you so much. There you go with Sit and Spin. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to The Men's Room on The Men's Room Radio Network.
Whether a good thing or a bad thing, what did you get or inherit from your parents? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Hey, guys. So, really love the show. First time caller. But I have sent you cookies before because I'm the Nabisco baker.
Oh, all right.
Thanks for the cookies, Mike.
My pleasure.
And the crackers.
I was going to say.
Billions.
Yeah, the Ritz crackers.
We just had some yesterday with a delicious crab dip, so thank you again.
My pleasure.
Yeah, the ones without seasoning suck, by the way.
They were terrible.
What in the hell's going on?
What are they thinking?
It's all the butter spray, right? It's all the butter dust on the Ritz?
Yeah. The Ritz cracker without the butter is absolutely inedible.
It doesn't even taste like a cracker. I mean, it blew my mind, man.
Maybe that's what they spray on those pretzels.
Yeah.
Right. Same kind of butter dust. All right, so what did you inherit?
Butter dust.
My old man still retains possession of this, but I'm picking it up day after tomorrow when I go see him because he lives in Santa Rosa and the city keeps burning down.
Yes,
but
that's
what
a problem.
Giving me, yeah, it's been an issue. He's given me a narwhal tusk, which he was a 22-year-old lieutenant sent to Greenland in 1967 and traded an Eskimo, the proverbial two cartons of smokes and some beads. But he came away with a narwhal tusk.
How big is it?
It was in my house growing up. He also came home with a ship's bell, which goes to my little brother, which the story he still cannot tell us because it would be
is that whale the whale with a single tusk that's kind of spiraled in the front?
How long is the tusk?
The tusk was about 6 feet long when I was a child. It is now about 5 feet long after 50 years of getting
and you can legally possess this thing, I guess. Mike, are you there? And he's gone.
Okay.
Isn't there a place in town that has a giant whale penis someplace like Ivor's?
There's a place somewhere.
Somewhere. I mean, if it's not Ivor's, sorry, but I thought it was like the one on South Lake
Union. Why is it always okay to show like an animal penis, right? You can go into
That's what a pixie stick is,
an old restaurant, right? A dork,
Pickles,
right?
Pixel stick or whatever.
Oh, this is a horse penis, right? But if you mounted a human penis, that's obscene. Here's this little flaccid 3-inch human penis. There's a 6-foot whale penis, and that's cool.
Yeah.
Right, but in other parts of the world, there's penises all over. There's parks full of them.
What?
You've been to a penis park?
No, I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure this. I don't want to guess the wrong area, but it's like there's like a day of celebration.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's one in Japan for sure.
All right. So, right.
Yeah, they have a festival.
I mean, there's like a day.
Right.
You don't just walk into the bar.
The park's there 364.
And then the other thing is like. If you like all of these great sculptures.
Ted's right. Penis doesn't have a lot going on for it as far as it does. There's Breast Cancer Awareness Day.
Oh, no. Nobody cares
about
that.
There's all kinds of other stuff out there. Nothing for the penis.
Well, Michelangelo, he's been flashing his for years.
That's what I'm saying, man. When we were in Italy, you know, it's all these beautiful marble sculptures.
The David. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Not Michelangelo. Right.
And all you look at is penis. And it can be a little boy. It can be an old man. Right. One thing they have in common. Their D is out. I mean, and they wear clothes. Like, he's wearing something on his shoulders. I'm like,
every day
why is he not covering his
every
penis?
Every day is a day. You know what today is, right, everybody? Well, are we all caught up yet on what every day of the year is?
Today's coffee day.
National coffee day.
All right.
That's correct.
Do
we should
you
know
that.
Because we live in Seattle. It's National Coffee Day.
All right.
Every day is National Coffee Day in Seattle. This is a Tuesday, so to speak, to put the joke on it. But nothing about penis.
A penis day?
Yeah.
Like what day would you
make? Like you have a penis, you go to McDonald's, you get a free Big Mac.
You got a penis, you get a Big Mac.
You know what I mean? I got a penis, I want the free Big Mac.
Mike, is there a national day for it?
What I have here is the first Sunday of April every year in Japan is essentially National Penis Day.
Okay.
Why don't we make it the same here?
They celebrate with parades of large phalluses all around the city. And
Is there a park?
It's a pickle park.
I've heard of a park in like South Korea or something like that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like I think it's just
what
here.
Is it with this park?
Well, it's just like they. Man,
is it the one
I'm not
day?
Making a joke, okay. But I'm saying like it's more celebrated or honored and this and that, and so there's a park that just has a bunch of sculptures of penises. Yeah.
I told you about the Alley of Penises in Fremont.
Oh, well, that's right.
Which the architect put in there to give a big F you to the city of Seattle because they kind of cut his art project a little bit down. So he decided
it takes a minute, but Miles goes, man, just follow me, right? And we're walking.
It's covered in ivy.
It's like, what do you see? Then it's kind of like, That looks like a D. Oh my God, there's D's everywhere.
Yeah,
man.
It's a wall of penises.
Oh, it's a.
Oh, look at that thing.
Hasandang Park.
Is that a bird on top of that thing? What is that?
There is actually a bird has landed on top of the bird.
What a great spot, huh? What a view on top of this thing.
It's like I tell everybody when I'm having a few beers, I bring receipts.
Want more of The Men's Room? Download the new podcast from Miles and Thrill, The Greatest Story Never Told. Available on radio.com. Yeah. And now, everyone's favorite daytime game show, where one person could lose $325,000 and their job, or win, and walk away with nothing. It's time for Ted versus the FCC.
Oh, wait, wait. Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
Long day yesterday, all together. We got it done, though. We came up with some unbelievable tongue twisters late last night for Ted versus the FCC. You're not going to believe this, Steve.
What's that?
We got an email from a listener.
Are you kidding me?
We have a listener submitted Ted versus the FCC.
Well, if we had known, we wouldn't have stayed up late working so hard.
And you know, we say listener comes first.
Always.
Yeah. Most of the time. So, this one comes our way from Kevin. And Kevin says he altered this from the beloved Fox in Socks. And also adds, good luck, Ted. In this week's Ted versus the FCC goes something like this. Three free fleas flocked. While these fleas flocked, Freezy Breeze blew ships. Freezy Breeze made these three ships' shops freeze. The way we play Ted versus the FCC is you need to read that one time through, then three times fast.
All right. Three free fleas flocked. While these fleas flocked, Freezy Breeze blew ships. Freezy Breeze made these three ships' shops freeze.
Three times fast.
Three free fleas flocked. While these fleas flocked, Freezy Breezy blew ships. Freezy Breezy made these three ships' shop freeze.
One.
Three free fleas flocked. While these fleas flocked, Freezy Breezy blew ships. Freezy Breezy made these three ship shops freeze.
Two.
Three free fleas flocked. While these three fleas flocked, Freezy Breezy blew ships. Freezy Breezy made these three ships shop freeze.
That's a win! That is a win!
So close.
That is a win!
All right. Finally back in the win column. We might be even on the air. I'm not sure, but I think we're pretty close on Ted versus the FCC.
Can't get enough of The Men's Room? Listen to The Men's Room Daily Podcast on the radio.com app.
Mike, you were thinking about getting married there for a little while. Do you think that you would...
Mulling it over, yeah.
Would you think you would be a good husband? Like, what are
I feel like I would, yeah.
Okay. Do you help around the house?
I do. Well, yeah.
That does not sound...
Sometimes.
Do you walk the dog?
I do.
Okay. What else
you know the typical guy duties. Right. Like, if you get a dog, it is your dog to
vacuum the floors, clean up the litter box, take the trash out, do what I'm told.
Do you make chili?
I'll do the laundry. I make the chili.
Okay,
yeah,
good. I think that's a guy's thing to do.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with canned beans, and it just seems so unsexy for a woman to do that.
Damn.
I'm just saying.
But it is. I'm with you.
But I'm heating them up in a very special
Chili's
way.
Chili's man's job.
I will say, I made some this weekend, but I specifically cut up all my onions and peppers separately.
Uh-huh.
You could buy a freeze-dried mix and, like, disappoint
her. Yeah, you can also just take a can of salsa that's already got them chopped up and just throw it all in there.
I know how to make the fire in the fireplace.
You have a real fireplace?
I do have a real fireplace.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a wood?
Yes.
All right. Just like you live in an apartment complex. I didn't know how readily available it would be.
I mean, usually we go with the Duraflame log, but I can also put an actual fire together.
Duraflame log, though, it's like you're chemicalizing your entire place.
Pretty much. And you literally just light the piece of paper on fire and then
it's easy.
Up. But I can actually start an actual fire within the fireplace
Ooh,
as well.
If you want to be romantic, it's getting that time
exactly.
of year.
Are you a Miles? TP or log cabin guy when you build a fire outside?
Neither, Ted. I'm a lean-to guy. See, what you do is you put the big log there on the side and then you put the kindling leaned up against it. You put some fire starter there underneath it, whether it's paper, whether it's even smaller kindling, you light that underneath. It fires up on the kindling that's leaning on the big log. The entire time, it's just heating up that big log there on the side.
Big log knowledge.
Yeah.
Big
Spoken like a true Eagle Scout.
Reason.
It's got that big log energy.
Reason why we asked, are you a good husband or wife material? There's an old test that's making the rounds, and it's from 1939. It's supposed to tell if you are being a good husband or wife, but most of the tips don't translate now very well. But guys had it a lot easier back then.
You don't say.
Women, not so much. Here are some of the signs that you are a good husband. According to the test in 1939, you're nice to her friends.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah. You remember the anniversary date.
Of course.
Got it right here.
Okay. Is it the date when you first went on a date?
No. Or it, could not tell you.
It's got to be the marriage date, right? Because I couldn't.
Yeah, that's
ladies,
the anniversary.
Once you get married, you can't hold that, hey, this is the anniversary of us first going out crap anymore.
Yeah.
Pick one or the other.
Here's a weird one. You're kind to her even if no one's watching. Okay.
Well, I would like to think.
I'm only mean when no one else is around.
That's why she has her friends over all the time.
She loves me. You ask for her opinions. Sometimes.
I don't need to.
Then it says sometimes.
I need to ask. I just need to wake up and I'll get them all. I mean, And I mean, opinion of a program that is being watched, the children's behavior, what I am wearing, my I don't need to ask.
These are signs that you're a good husband in 1939. You let her drive the car if she needs it.
Oh, every time. Have at it, honey.
Yeah.
And you read the newspaper out loud to her.
Just
oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah. Few signs.
Guess what Garfield said about that lasagna? It's a real knee slapper, honey.
A few signs you're not a great husband.
They circled the world in one plane.
So this is you not being a good husband at this time. Flirting in front of her.
No, but I mean, if she goes to the bathroom, it's on.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have that grandparent who just flirted with every single waitress, no matter where you were, and just pissed your great-grandmother off, your grandmother off?
Yeah.
I mean, all the time, nonstop, like just every line in the
book. I like your flair.
I've been guilty of that without meaning to. Just like you're BSing with the waitress.
Yeah.
So you're just hitting it off, and then right. It's like...
Like all of a sudden, you look
turn
over.
Turn back to the girl you're with. She looks like she's about to kill you.
Oh, yes. I've had that many times.
Oh, were you hungry, too? I'm sorry, babe.
Many times. One time I was talking about running. It's like, Jesus Christ.
That's sexy.
I'm trying to be on neutral territory here. It's not working out for me. Let's see here. Comparing her to your mom or previous wives.
God.
Now, talking about how life was so much better before you got married. These are signs you're not a great husband. Not saying excuse me when you burp. No word on the fart here, though.
I don't say excuse me when I burp, but to me, once you get married, like that stuff's off the table.
And criticizing her in public. So those are the reasons you're not a great husband.
Hey, wench!
Yeah. Now, here...
You remind me of my mother.
Here are...
Get out of the driver's seat.
While I'm hitting, I'm the waitress.
Yeah. Here are a few signs that you are a good wife. By 1939 standards.
So well, being that you're looking at us, I would say the first one, that I am female.
This is a good wife. You always serve dinner on time.
Yeah, that's always right. Good. I am asked, however, at least by 9:30 a.m., what I would maybe want for dinner, I don't know, 9 hours later.
By 1939 standards, you play an instrument. That's a sign you're a good wife.
That's right. Oh,
wife. You get dressed up for your husband for breakfast.
For breakfast?
For breakfast. What the hell?
I'm wearing these pajamas and slippers and tank top braless for you.
Yeah, yeah, right? I'd rather you be in a robe with a cigarette hanging out of your mouth, making bacon and curlers. You know what I mean? All dressed
up. The green mask on, right?
Yeah, I don't care. You're a good housekeeper. You always put the kids to bed. You run any big purchases by your husband first. And you let him sleep in on the weekends. Those are signs that you are a good wife. What the hell's happening here?
There are no good husbands or wives out there.
No. Some signs you're not a good wife in 1939 include not liking kids, being late for appointments, letting your cold feet touch him under the covers.
All right, you know what?
Yes!
That's a great one.
Yes!
I just want to warm mine up. Get a warmer blanket.
Put on socks.
Damn!
More signs you're not a good wife include being a backseat driver, getting jealous, and wearing red nail polish.
What?
It's just part of the thing.
Damn. Only a whore would wear red.
You look like a whore. My mother's coming over and you got red nail polish on.
Jeez.
Is that tennis and ready by six?
She warned me about you. Random. Hello, Matt. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola. Get your cold feet off me with your whore red toenails.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did I startle you? Yeah, with those ice blocks you call feet? You caught me off guard.
You put them between my thighs while I was asleep. Yes, you startled me.
Connect with the men's room on Instagram at men's room live.
So we already determined that we needed to hit about $1,800 an hour to catch up with BJ and Migs and the $7,311 they got this morning. Mm-hmm. The idea was $1,800 an hour would get us to that point.
Right.
Just so you know, the first hour, we kind of got a late start. It was $1,100.
Correct.
So we're already behind the eight ball on this.
Correct.
Okay. Do we have the new total?
We do. We
for
have
the 4 o'clock hour.
We have an updated total for the 3 o'clock hour. Any guesses, first off?
For the 3 o'clock hour?
No.
I'll say
I thought you said 1,100.
1,600.
1,600? Miles, any guesses?
You told it'd be 1,100.
1,100, okay. Ted, any guesses?
1,601.
Well, pretty much all three of you guys combined, it's $5,812.
What?
And 56 cents.
What?
We're going live on Facebook right now because, yeah, Thrill is definitely getting the pile.
We're at 5,000 what now?
In the 3 o'clock hour alone, Miles, we raised you guys raised $5,812.
Oh, man.
Pie to the face, bitch. And Bad Choice Friday and Big Macs for Hair Club.
We got to hit the magic number. That's right. They're not doing it by $7,500. That's a hell of a power hour
right there.
Got him some napkins there. I like it.
Do you realize that the cleaning crew is going to hate us after this?
Well, it's not my fault the people are so charitable, Miles.
We're going to have ants on the 14th floor of this building.
You ready?
All right. Ready to go?
Never take a pie to the face.
Okay, all right. Here we go.
Oh, God.
How did it feel?
Woo! It's kind of awesome, dude.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to lie to
you. That is commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't thought about what we were going to do next because we still want to play the game known as Big Dummy.
Yeah. Give me a second.
Yeah, exactly. Nah. Jesus whiz.
Oh, wow.
Well, you got lucky. You didn't get it filled up with jelly on that round. But.
I will tell you this.
They're going to hate us.
See the wreckage that's behind you on the wall over there, Mr. Hill?
Oh, no.
Oh, my Lord.
Well,
oh, no.
Miles, it's for a good cause. We're fine.
I know that. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, wow.
I can't wait to get this memo. Jesus criminy.
That's
a big number. $5,800 alone in that hour. So
correct.
Where's our total now?
So this has got to put us, honestly, if I'm doing my math correctly, we are just shy of $7,000 on those 2 hours.
Are you kidding me?
Not at all.
That's awesome. All right. We are almost there. Okay, but we need more. Please.
Correct.
It is Kicks for Kids Day. We're helping the people at Mary's Place. The idea is this. If you're just joining the program, they're going to give a brand new shoes to kids who are in need. And there are a lot of kids in need. We know these are tough times. We know the families are having a tough times, a lot so more struggling than others. So if you can give a little bit, please do so. But you got to remember, the winter months are coming, and the kids need brand new shoes. And Mary's Place is going to let them pick out a reasonable pair of shoes on their own. So they can go in there and get the brand they want and all those things, because that's important.
Oh, my God.
Got it.
You are a mess, man.
Oh, man. I mean, he went with the gusto.
We are in trouble.
He was like, should I do it here in the kitchen? I was like, do it here. And I was like, oh, man.
Oh, man. We got to. Maybe we should move it out to the kitchen for the next round.
For the next round.
Sure, let's take this mess on tour.
Idea. At least there's no carpet and things like that.
I wasn't thinking it through.
All right, that's okay.
Hey.
You
kids are getting the shoes. That's the most important thing.
Please go to KISW.com and donate if you can. We're going to try to hit $7,500. That will beat BJ and Migs. That way we'll bring back Bad Choice Friday. Not only that, we'll do that on behalf of Ryan Castle and make it honorary. We'll call it Ryan Castle's Bad Choice Friday.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's
not fair. Only that, but Sergeant Hair Club said that he was going to come into the studio, and although he rarely eats meat and rarely goes to McDonald's, he's going to have a Big Mac, fries, and a large shake and also play video games. So this is going to be an amazing day. What do we got there?
Oh, man. Yeah, somebody missed a good point. I should apologize. It says, Thrill, it's offensive that you're in whiteface. You know what? You're right. I wasn't thinking it through.
Wow.
This is going to come back to haunt me now.
All right, the game is Big Dummy. Let's see if we can get a brand new contestant.
We got to pick from the hat.
My bad. Sorry, man. I told you we got a lot going on today.
We
have to keep up with it.
Next victim here. Are you ready?
Yes.
Drum roll, please. Coming out straight from the bucket. That way that you guys all know that we're not cheating over here. Here we go. Hang on. I got it. Oh, doggone it, it's me again!
Oh, yes!
Yeah!
Mike Hawk! Couldn't take a pie to the face during the shot of the day. We really should have brought booze in here today. This would have been the day.
Go during the break. Okay, and who's throwing said pie? Oh, be kind to me. It is Miles Montgomery.
Oh, yeah!
All right. Redemption.
All right. Now go harder than Steve did. Just so we can get more spewage. All right. The game is Big Dummy 206-421-ROCK. Who's our next contestant? Ready to play the big game.
Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hola. Brandon, are you sober or not sober?
Unfortunately, I'm sober.
That's all right, Brandon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. Our men's room poll. You're a kid, you get to pick out your own shoes for a change. Will it be light-up shoes, Heelys, tennis shoes, or boots?
I'm going to go with Heelys, man.
Heelys is coming on strong today. Okay. You think you could rock them without breaking anything?
Back in the day, yeah, but I don't know about these days.
Okay.
All right.
Let me ask you something, Brandon. You ever hit yourself in the face with a cream pie?
No, sir.
If you do, don't go with as much gusto as I had.
Is it tasty?
Dude,
did you get to taste any of it?
Here's the problem. It is delicious. I feel like Scooby-Doo at the end of the credits where he's licking his face. But I will tell you this. If blood were white, it looks like someone walked in with a shotgun and blew my head off. Mm-hmm. Like the wall behind.
This is good times.
Oh, it's up on the vent.
Oh, it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere.
I don't know if this is helping or hurting.
Oh, Dad. Don't do that. Draw a D in it, man.
Hey, shout out to Mary's Place, though. They're doing a good thing for the kids.
Absolutely they are, always, man.
They're doing even more.
Good Lord. All right, so by 5 o'clock, we're hoping to get 1,800 more?
We have to.
All right.
We can't even get up that high.
Ted just drew a penis in the whipped cream that's on the window.
How did this... I see how it got there.
Hey, it's for a good cause.
That's right.
All right, Brandon, here
is... You know what? No one comes in here anymore anyway.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, we can put up centerfold pictures.
I don't even know why I'm wearing pants.
Yeah. I haven't watched that HR video yet.
Yeah. The weird thing is, Mike and I have to see the guy. We see him every night.
Oh, no.
Oh,
he's a real nice guy, too.
And he's super friendly.
He won't be tomorrow.
And he's not tall enough to get up. All
right. Anybody got a 20?
We should tip him.
Yeah.
We'll throw in a little money for him.
All right.
All right, there. That's right. We're going to bribe the cleaning guy. All right, Brandon, here is your question. What kind of berry do you get when you cross a blackberry and a raspberry?
Oh, a boysenberry.
Yeah, boysenberry.
Is that what it really is?
Yeah. Did you actually know
There's
that, or was that a guess?
There's a boysenberry and a marionberry?
Yeah.
Huh. I had no idea. I was going to guess marionberry.
I was going to say marionberry, too.
Hey, Mike...
Yes.
I guess some people missed a video of me smashing myself in the face.
Don't worry, I've shared it. It should be. If it's not up there right now, it'll be on the KISW Facebook page.
All right, so leave me alone about it. It'll be up there.
You're not going to believe where the whipped cream goes.
It is amazing.
It is.
I'm blown away how hard you slammed that into your face.
I will say this, my nose hurts.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network. Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And before we get there, I should point out this particular shot of the day. Brought to us by our very own Robin Fox. And keep in mind, her name is Robin, so she knows everything about every other bird. That's the true thing.
And
foxes and birds, she knows everything about it. And today, we toast 5 parrots from Lincolnshire Wildlife Park in Lincolnshire, England. Now, the wildlife park, it's already home to over 1,500 parrots. So when they had the opportunity to adopt 5 more, they figured, what better place? Well, they got the birds about 6 weeks ago, but I don't know if it's for COVID reasons or whatever. The birds had to quarantine together for a few weeks before they could be put on public display. Well, the day came. They're finally ready to be publicly seen. And within 20 minutes, park employees were informed that the new parents had sworn at a customer. And then, 5 minutes after that, these parrots hurled obscenities at a group of people. They even insulted a woman's weight. And once these parrots start cursing, apparently they don't stop. The way it's described is this. One parrot will swear, right? Drop an F-bomb. The other parrots mimic laughing. But that encourages the next parrot to swear. And then they all respond by laughing. And they hot potato cursing. And what they do, so F-bomb, ha-ha-ha-ha, S-bomb, ha-ha. This goes on and on. Understand, they don't stop once they start. Now, the people that worked at the wildlife refuge, they knew that these parrots had a proclivity to curse. They just didn't think they would curse this much for this long. They have now been taken off of the public display. They will be put back out for the public, but these particular 5 parrots can't be together. However, they do offer up the fact that they recognize that even though they're going to put them in separate areas so they don't encourage each other, there's a very good chance that they're going to teach the other parrots around them to swear.
Mm-hmm.
So it started with 5. And I mean, think about it. You walk
I
in.
I think this is
Daddy,
a crime.
Look at the parrot.
They should be able to stay together. Look, if they just want to make it like a poker game, that's fine.
Well, that's what they described it. They said it sounds like an old men's club. They just cuss and laugh and cuss and laugh. They think it's funny, but they understood they had to take it out
of
the
public. Did they know each other before they put them together in the cage?
I don't think so. The way the story reads, It just happened that these five parrots became available. They weren't like a package deal. But they put them in a little quarantine, and whichever one knew how to cuss basically taught the other ones how to cuss. And then they responded with the fake laughter, and then that becomes their cue to keep going. And they won't stop. So everybody that came in to check these things out, they're getting cussed at. You're getting insulted.
I'm paying more.
I would drop.
If they yes. doubled the cost of the ticket to get in there, I'm paying. I'm going to go, and I'm only going to go, and then I'll check out everything else after the fact.
I don't care about
I'm beelining
stuff.
It to these guys.
Well, they said a lot of people have shown interest in coming to see the parrots. The problem is they got to figure out a way where this is a wild park or wildlife park.
Maybe no so kids allowed.
That's what they're trying to figure out. We need. Again, the wildlife employees are not against the idea of the parrots cussing. They said, look, it's very funny to us. Most of the customers found it funny, but customers that had children did not find
funny. If you had an all-ages exhibit, like maybe the monkey is masturbating, maybe the parrots are cussing at you. You know what I mean? Like at the time, you just make it a call. Like, is this 18 and over or is this 18 and under? You know what I mean? You can either get in or you can't, depending on the feistiness of the animal. That
or make it something where they... You know, you could go to the Woodland Park Zoo, and these five parrots you've heard about are there. You got 1 month to see them. Here they are. They're going to berate and insult you. Then they go to the San Diego Zoo, whatever.
It's like
right?
The independent video store. They had a curtain, and there was a little room in the back.
You knew what was going on.
Kids aren't walking in there.
Mommy, where's that man going?
Yeah.
Well, let's drink. We pour this booze.
That's your neighbor.
And we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitchola!
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill. Also available on radio.com.
Aw, man!
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.